Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Further explanation of the hadith that we had read. In it, it has come that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited all forms of oppression. Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala Himself does not oppress anyone, and nobody should oppress another person. Allah has made oppressing, making zulm, Allah has made it haram. Therefore, the lives, wealth, honor, and dignity of all people must be respected and protected. Everyone that we are in contact with, whether it is, we should think very carefully, right in our homes, our wives, whether we are fulfilling their rights or whether we are making zulm on them. How many a man who has got the love of the kuffar lifestyle wants his wife to dress like that, how the kuffar dress, that is making zulm on them. A Muslim woman, by nature, she has got sharam haya, and we want her to dress, whether it is just in the house or whether it is in the bedroom, we want him to dress with their tight jeans or with their minis or with their bikinis and all that. That is the love of the kuffar. That is also making zulm upon them. Whether it is our children, and we give them education which will lead them astray, lead them that they disbelieve in Allah or they lose trust in Allah Ta'ala. And we don't ever talk of them of iman and yaqeen, of akhirs, etc. We are convinced we are fulfilling the rights and we are bringing up our children and that we'll get great reward. But actually we are making zulm on those innocent little children when we are giving them the wrong education. In that way, like for example the Shias, they make the worst zulm on the ummah, but they show themselves that we are victims and people must have mercy upon us. And the way they cry and present the case, but in actual fact they are the zalimeen. Many a person who is an employee and he gets dismissed from his duties, then he makes it known to everyone, Lord, zulm was made on me. But why was he dismissed? The same employer employed him and looked after him. But now there must be something that he's doing wrong. Therefore he's dismissed. And he will go out crying to the people that Lord, zulm has been made on me. But a person should see that what must he have done wrong that he has been dismissed. So this is not just at face value, and we should always think that in what is our category. We might be thinking on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will help us because we are mazloom. But actually, if it comes out that we are the zanims, we are the wrongdoers, then the consequences will be very grave. The greatest form of oppression is to ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala. Whoever is making shirk, Allah gives him everything, and then he doesn't worship Allah. He's not obedient to Allah, and he obeys shaitan. He obeys his nafs. Nafs and shaitan, who did nothing for him, who are his enemies, he obeys them. And he also takes it that Lord, zulm is being made on me. But the person who is a mushrik is what the worst of zalim. He is committing the worst zulm with Allah Ta'ala. He is making zulm on Allah Ta'ala. So all this we have to take into consideration. While committing other sins is also a form of oppression. But the shirk is the worst type of zulm. A poet has eloquently explained the harm of oppression. La tuzlimanna idha ma kunta muqtadira. Do not make zulm on anyone when you have the power. فَالظُّلْمُ آخِرُ يَعْتِيكَ بِالنَّدَمُ. Because at the end, zulm will bring regret to you. Whoever will make zulm, he will see that regret. If we make zulm on the wife, we will suffer the consequences. If the wife makes zulm on the husband, and she goes around wailing everywhere that the husband is a big zalim, but she doesn't cook, she doesn't look after the house, she doesn't obey him, she doesn't satisfy him. So she makes it as it look that her husband is very bad, but in actual fact, she's the one who is a bad one. So the end result of zulm will be always great destruction and great harm for a person. Namat uyunaka wal mazlumu muntabihun. You are sleeping, you are making zulm, and you don't realize what you are doing. But the one that you made zulm on, he is awake at night, and he's crying to Allah Ta'ala, and he's begging for his right. Yadu alayka wa inu Allah lam tanam. He is making baddua for you. And remember, the eyes of Allah Ta'ala don't sleep. Allah Ta'ala, in a'udhu billah, is not blind. Allah doesn't sleep. Allah is watching everything. And Allah knows every case, all the merit. Who is actually the zalim and showing himself to be the mazloom. Allah Ta'ala knows all that. And accordingly, the final law and decree is the law of Allah Ta'ala. Sustenance is in the control of Allah. In this hadith also, Allah says, all of you are ja'i'un, you are hungry, and I give the rozi. So seek rozi from me. Hence, one should not expect the creation to provide it. Whether it is our job, whether it is our shop, we should really not expect that. That is just a means. The real giver is only Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, many a person in his shop, he suffers great losses. And it takes him years to pay the people out of all the losses that he went through. The shop itself is not only profit. There could be terrible losses for a person. A person in his job, he can be found guilty of doing wrong. And then he has to pay back for how much of money that he took from the company, etc. So it isn't the job that's giving us rozi, it's not the shop, it's not our degrees, it is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. And there are many people who are not earning at all, but yet Allah is looking after them. For example, the animals in the animal kingdom, no animals got factories, nobody got offices, nobody got jobs. But every creation in the animal kingdom, Allah is feeding them and giving them the food all the time. A person's supplication to Allah and is relying upon Him for sustenance does not, however, negate the adoption of means. As means are also in the control of Allah Ta'ala. This is a whole subject which needs a lot of discussion, that asbab Allah has made. Whether it's our job, whether it's our house for shelter, whether it's the wife for comfort, whether it's our food to fill our stomach, whether it's medicine and doctors and hospitals for treatment, but these things, Allah created them. And in themselves, none of these things can satisfy our needs. The only one that satisfies our needs are Allah. Allah has created them, made them the means, asbab. To use them is not only permissible, but it is sunnah. We'll get the sawab of sunnah. But if we put our yaqeen in them, that the medicine gives us shifa, doctors give us shifa, the shop gives me my rozi, then that very same thing will become shirk, which is the worst type of zulm. And this is a very, very fine dividing line, and it's very necessary that everyone be aware of it. Otherwise, you might be thinking, whole day I'm working and I'm earning to feed my family, and I'm working so hard to feed my family. But if his trust is on that job, then actually he's a mushrik. And he is suffering from shirk, the worst guna. So it's very important to make our aqidah correct. To use all the means is meritorious, it is sunnah. But to put the trust in the means and to believe that the means are providing for us, that is totally haram and it is shirk. And such a person, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Shirk Allah will not forgive for any person. Besides that, all other gunas, that if Allah wishes, and according to hadith and the words of the ulama, Allah will forgive all other gunas also. But shirk Allah will not forgive. It is also narrated in the hadith that a person who only read once in his lifetime, La ilaha illallah, but he committed a lot of gunas, and he goes to Jahannam, and he'll be burnt black, like charcoal he'll have become. But he will be also taken out and brought to Jannah on condition that he did not make shirk with Allah Ta'ala. If he makes shirk, then he will be forever in Jahannam. So this is a serious matter. Just that I'm a Muslim by name and I live in a Muslim society doesn't absolve us of our responsibility and our consciousness. We should be very careful and see whether we trust in Allah or we trust in the asbab which Allah has created. Such means do not cause the effect of their own accord, but are subject to the command and control of Allah Ta'ala, because He subdues the clouds to rain. He softens the hearts of His servants to give to others, and He grants wealth to some in order to employ others. Everything is in the control and the system of Allah Ta'ala. Our eyes must be all the time on Allah, but we are such that even in namaz, our eyes are not on Allah. Then in our namaz also, we are thinking of the asbab, of our jobs, of our shops, etc. So even in namaz, we're not putting our trust on Allah, and namaz was the means that brought us to trust on Allah Ta'ala. But we don't even in namaz. So where will our trust come in Allah in the rest of our lives? We must not just be satisfied that we are Muslims by name and we are even making namaz and keeping roza, giving zakat and going for hajj. But if our aqidah is not correct, then everything will be lost. It is very important that we correct our belief that Allah alone is the doer of everything. In addition to supplicating, making dua to Allah for all our needs, we should engage in abundant istighfar. We are so such that we are taught at the end of our namaz, which is the highest form of ibadah. The dua is not at the end, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, but the dua is, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا. That, oh Allah, I've done a great wrong. We perform namaz, and for namaz we are saying, Ya Allah, forgive me, because we couldn't make our namaz as it was supposed to be. All our ibadat is like that. Very fortunate is that person that the end of any and all of his ibadat, it is crowned with istighfar. That is a clear sign of its acceptance by Allah Ta'ala. That is humility in a person. Ya Allah, I couldn't do it as it was supposed to be done. Oh Allah, my concentration. Oh Allah, my namaz itself, the postures were not right. I did not even have any concentration. Oh Allah, you forgive me. Allah forgives such a person. But if a person is proud and haughty, I made so much namaz. And in fact, we go and tell the others. We tell the wife, you slept the whole night. I made so much ibadah. Or we talk about it in front of friends in different ways and we boast about it. That is a very, very poor condition and great fear that Allah will reject that ibadah totally. So there should be total submission. Allah has ordained the system of man making dua to Him for guidance, sustenance, food, clothing, etc., to prevent him from pride and for various other reasons. Allah made dua, and by dua is a sign that you are dependent on Allah for your hidayat also, for your jannah, for your akhirat, for your family. A person who doesn't make dua is a sign that he has got pride in him, that I don't need Allah in my life. I can do my things myself. And for that also, each one of us think in the 24 hours, when is my slot for dua? My 2 minutes, my 5 minutes slot for dua, when do I have got a slot? If I haven't got any time to make dua, that means I'm not making dua. That means it's a clear sign I don't need Allah in my life. I can manage my things myself. But a person who realizes he can do absolutely nothing for himself and he needs Allah, and the means Allah has kept open for us is dua, that we turn to Allah. And for dua to be accepted, what we have been taught, do some type of ibadat. Make namaz, read Quran Sharif, whatever, read tasbih, and after that make dua, then the dua will be accepted. Very, very important that each one of us think, in my 24 hours, when is my time I make dua? Usually after Farz Namaz, we lift up our hands, but we are totally unmindful. We just lift up our hands, wipe them back on our faces. And we hardly ask for anything. It's just a customary thing that we do. And dua is no customary thing. Dua is a reality. And dua is a dua'u mukhul ibadah. It is the very marrow of ibadat. And if there isn't dua in our lives, then that ibadat is lifeless. There is no life in that ibadat. In our bones, if we don't have the marrow, that bone is useless. That bone has a lot of work to do, but it can do that work when the marrow inside is there. And that marrow, there isn't deficiency in that marrow. Many people have got funny ailments and sicknesses because the marrow in the bones, there is deficiency in there. So it is very important that we make sure that our dua is in place. And daily we are taking our time, whether it's 5 minutes before Maghrib Namaz, whether it is after Farz Namaz, properly we are making dua, whether it is tahajjud time, but whatever 5-10 minutes of time we should take out for dua. Ulama have written, فَإِذَا سَأَلَ رَبَّهُ فَقَدِ اِتَّرَفَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِالْعَبُودِيَّةِ وَلِمَوْلَاهُ بِالْرَبُوبِيَّةِ Ulama have written, when a person makes dua, then he has admitted that I am a servant of Allah. I am in need of help. And that Allah is my provider. Allah will see to all my needs. But if a person is not making dua, is making 5 times namaz, is reading Quran Sharif, but no dua, that means he's not in need of Allah. He can, he feels, I am my own Allah. I will do all my things, I'll manage all my affairs. I don't need Allah. But a person who, and ibadat is to bring abudiyat, to bring humility in a person. But if that ibadat is not bringing humility, and we are not turning to Allah, then that ibadat is also not ibadat. We are thinking it's ibadat, but it's bringing pride in us. I'm a very big abid. I make a lot of ibadat. And I don't have to beg anyone for anything. But abudiyat comes, and the other great benefit of this is, when we will turn to Allah, we won't have to turn to anyone else for help. How much we turn and we beg other people for help. When a person has found Allah, and he turns to Allah for help, he doesn't have to ask anyone else. Allah is more than sufficient for him. And you ask people for help, they might help you, they might not help you. If they help you, they will hold it against you also. And even if they don't help you, they hold that also against you. They'll go and tell everyone, he came to me for help. Though they didn't even help you, you ask Allah for help, Allah won't tell anyone anything. Allah will give his help, and Allah will keep your izzat. And the more you ask for Allah, Allah makes you more honorable. And Allah grants you more greatness. But when you turn to people, you are bringing disgrace upon yourself. So that contact with Allah by dua is very, very important. And that brings us to the end of that chapter of making mujahada, and that is by nafal namaz, by turning to Allah. In that also we are very, very weak. Now with qurbani being here, we should make nafil qurbanis also. For our children, our marhumin, for whoever we can, how much we can afford, we should make a lot of nafil qurbanis also. May Allah give us all the tawfiq.